Billy said, "It's all mine." How do you follow that? Great worship. I want to give you a word. We could say this word and go home as you think about this. But before God changes your circumstances, He wants to change your heart. More important than changing your circumstances is God changing your heart. If He changed your circumstances to where you were perfect in every way, wonderful in every way, but He didn't change your heart, what good would it be to us, to the world? He wants us to be conformable. Let me read a few verses. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of whose family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, I just want to say this. I just want to set the tone for this. It's in Deuteronomy 24:16, 24:19-22. That doesn't sound right. But yes, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you and all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again, for it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you this thing. So when she asked if she could go glean behind some of the reapers, this was according to law. She was a Moabite. Remember that. She was a Moabite. She wasn't Israeli, but she could go because it was for the stranger, the foreigner, the widow, the poor. She could go and she could glean. So she asked Naomi if she could do that, and Naomi said, "Go." Right? Now, she happened to come to the field of Boaz. Now, we know this was the providence of God. We know that this was the sovereignty of God. We know that God ordered it. We know that God ordered it. How do we know? Because to slip to the back of the story, to the end, there's a little baby going to be born, and that baby's name is going to be named Obed, and Obed is going to be the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of King David, and this Moabite woman will be in the lineage of Christ. So we know that God ordered it. And you know what? You can't help but thank God when He orders something. You can't help but thank Him. You can't help but believe in Him. You can't help but rely on it. His providence, it's wonderful. His providence is three things. Mark 16:20. The very last verse in Mark. "And they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs." The Lord working with them. The first thing that providence means is it means that God's working with us. And they were there. Jesus had already resurrected. They were going out and they were witnessing, and Jesus was right there among them. Jesus was working with them, in them, and through them. He was working with them. And the same is true for us. Whenever we go to, do anything that we're doing for the Lord, we go to do anything that we're doing for Christ's sake, the God is working with us. He is working with us, whatever it is. We're not alone. God's there. There's some real comfort there and some real peace in knowing that we're not alone, that God is working with us. He is also working in us. Philippians 2. Oh, I had it and lost it. Philippians 2, to look back at my verse, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Really it's verse 13, but I'll go ahead and read 12. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works in us both to will and to do in his good pleasure. And God is working in us. That is a part of God's providence. You read that verse and you sit down and you think about what that verse says. I can't even will to do what God wants me to do unless God is working in me. I can't even will to do it. I can't even want to do it. I can't even decide that I want to do it except that God is at work in us. So what becomes priority here is that we have to seek him. Amen. Through his Spirit, and then he will bring that up in us. We can't even work except God. It's all God's providence. He's ordering it. God is working with us. God is working in us. And God is working for us. Now, this is a verse that I know by heart, but every time I try to say it, I butcher it. So I'm going to look at it and read it for you. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes. It's God working in us. It's how can all things work together for good? All things. He says all things. How can even the bad things? How can all things work? All the good things, I can see how you can put them together and make something good. But that scripture says that God takes all things and puts them together for good in my life. Unless you believe in the providence and the sovereignty of God, you can't believe in that verse. You can't believe in it. All things put together come out for good. God is working with us. God is working in us. And God is working for us. He orders our life. Every step that we take, we have to see it as a gift from God. Every step that we take, every move that we make, we have to see it as something that God is ordering. If we could only just go about our lives, and I know I'm there with you. We just go about our lives and we live them. We've got to start seeing our lives as something that God is ordering. Amen. As something that God is in charge of and is taking us through for a purpose that is his sovereignty. We have to seek, we have to do. Live by grace. I'll get to live by grace now. I'm trying to figure out how much of this I want to read and how much of it. Let me just read a few verses. I'll probably read to verse 10. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. And then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And he said, please, let me glean, gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and she has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. And then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? He's telling her to listen up. Do not go and glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field in which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink what the young men have drawn. So she fell down on her face. She bowed down to the ground and she said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Grace. Undeserved favor. It's God's favor upon us. God's favor be upon us when we don't deserve it. But you know what? Ruth, we have to look for it. We're like Ruth. It's right in front of our eyes, but we don't know. We don't see. We don't understand. We don't see God's hand. We don't have this word. We don't see it. We have to look for the favor of God and the grace of God. Oh, it's easy to see what the grace of God when it's something big, but how about in the little things of our life? You see here, do not go to another field nor from a young woman. Have I not commanded my young men not to touch you? That's, you know, very real for a stranger and a foreigner. His other reapers could assault her or whatever, and he's commanded them not to. Verse 14, now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat the bread. Now, of course, Boaz was falling in love. We get it, but we get it now. Anyhow, but he wasn't letting that be known to her. He's come over here and eat bread. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. She was able to go even among the sheaves and glean. Do not reproach her. You can read this story and you'll just see God's grace all over it. When she was overwhelmed by God's grace, she could do one thing only. By the grace of Boaz, she saw it as the grace of Boaz. She could do one thing only. She fell on her face. She bowed down to the ground. And she said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Verse 10. Who am I that God would take notice of me? Who am I? I mean, really, who am I that God would take notice of me? Who am I that God would call me or anything? Who am I? Why, God? Why would you do this? Why would you call me? Why would you call anybody? Why would you call any of us? Why would you call us into a relationship with you? Why would you do it? But he does. He does. That's one of the reasons for worship. When you worship, just think, why, God? I'm a stranger. I'm an alien. I'm a foreigner to you. I'm a foreigner to your people. Why? Why would you call me? Just come away with grace. Grace. Then we have to live in that grace all the time. And 1 Peter 1:3-4, It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death. That's not the verse I wanted. That's a good verse. To an inheritance that's incorruptible. Let me see. Oh yeah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. It's given us everything that we need for life and godliness, everything that we need to live this life, to live godly lives in the way that he would want. Everything that we need, he has given it to us. That's grace. That's grace, because I don't deserve it. I turn my back on it. Oftentimes, it's grace. He's done it through our knowledge of him, through knowing him, through the relationship that we have with him, through walking with him, talking with him. We have to get back to having a real relationship with God, and he can give us all things, all things. I got to get to this one too. Verse 12, he says, back in Ruth 2, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward begin to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. I looked up a New Testament and I found it, and I didn't write it down for some reason. But in the New Testament, Jesus came and he looked over Jerusalem and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who've killed the prophets, how I've longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. He says, how I've longed to protect you, how I've longed to be your protection. And that's what he's saying right here. He has gathered Ruth. Ruth has, she's converted. She's left her father's religion. She's come to Israelites, and she is finding protection under the wings of God. You know, sometimes you just need protection. And if you could just find that under the wings of God. Ruth just tells her to stay in that grace. To stay in it through prayer. To stay in it through living under the wings of God. Just stay in that grace. God wants us. God, before God can change our circumstances, he wants to change our hearts, to believe in his providence and to live in his grace. Stand up with me if you would. I don't know what God wants from you today. I pray that whatever he wants from you, you will do it. I pray that you will live under his grace, that you will live under his providence. I pray that whatever God desires of you today, you'll do it. Be in prayer. Be seeking him, and then respond to him as he calls you.